Aviation made easy.
With your host, Erica Wiggins.
The Aim High Podcast.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at AIM_high. And now, the CFI for Aim High, Erica Wiggins.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our show today. This is our first show broadcast as a Google Hangout Live. So we're pretty excited, and kudos to Keith for being the tech brains behind this show and putting all this stuff together. I couldn't do it myself, that's for sure, so thank you.
You are welcome, and hopefully people will enjoy it. And, you know, it's something we're hoping to do in the future. And so you can watch it either through the Google Plus page, or you can watch it live on YouTube, or even in the future. It's not up right now, but aimhigh.com will also have embeds of it. So there's so many options for you. That's crazy. But the good bit is you can submit questions now, and Erica can answer them.
So you live. So send me your questions if something pops into your mind while we're talking, and keep it. This is our experiment day, so be kind. We will probably make some mistakes. I will fidget with my hair and, you know, that stuff. I'm not used to being on camera.
Nobody minds.
I actually combed my hair today. Ooh. So.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm wearing a hat, right? So that's anyway.
Yeah, I should have just worn a hat.
Hat's a good look, you know. It's not enough women out there wear hats.
All right, I should get like the big floppy derby hat.
Yeah,
no, it's not going to happen.
Horse racing hat?
Yeah, no. Okay. So, about today's show. We're coming into some amazing weather right now. Spring into summer, it's gorgeous. Snow's been melting around here. Of course, in Florida, it's already ungodly hot.
But it's starting that you see butterflies.
Wildflowers, all that. Yeah.
Hummingbirds.
Mm-hmm. We're going to break into song here in a minute.
It's fantastic. Yeah. The heels are alive.
Yeah, it is.
It's summertime.
It is summertime. And that brings up a whole new type of flying, though. Not only is it a better time to fly as far as there are more events going on, there's lots to do, the weather's just simply inspiring. It really is. So, but with our spring summer weather come a few considerations that we want to talk about. And why am I going into another educational podcast? Well, summer weather is our preparation for our fun stuff to do in summer.
Sure.
Episode that we're going to do next week. So fun summer flying. We're going to talk about air shows, fly-ins, fly camping, all that kind of stuff that we're going to be doing in the summer. Of course, we've had a dedicated fly camping episode in the past. So if you want to really dig into that one, go back and listen to that episode.
Right.
But
the payoff for flying is, of course, found in being able to go and do the fun stuff.
Right.
But the fun stuff isn't fun if things go wrong.
Right. So
it's okay to talk about safety and educate people.
Well, and you know,
why are you getting paranoid about this?
Because I've been on this really long kick of standing on soapboxes telling people how to be safe, and I don't want them to think it's all boring, but you know, that's what I'm here for. I'm a CFI. I've been doing this for
too long, you people don't have to work with her.
Oh, there we go. You see what I put up with?
She's always fun. Actually, I don't know if you've ever nagged. Have you ever nagged me?
I think I have nagged you. I'm not sure about what, but I seem to think I must have. I had to have. I'm a mom. I
nag
people.
For a while.
Yeah, it's been over a year. Oh my gosh, can you believe that?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. So anyway, okay, so educational thing. So summer flying is what we're
summer flying, and this time summer flying safety, and then next week summer flying fun. Mm. So listen up this time so you'll be ready to use the tips I give you next week that are going to be all about having a good time in the spring and summer. So first off, summer, you have longer days, and a lot of times it's hot. I was a flight instructor in Florida, and I have to tell you, I had to really think about the heat. Flying in 172s, Piper Cherokees, 152s, those were like flying greenhouses. All those windows, and you're just packed in there, and it's bumpy and hot. So dealing with the heat, think about your human self. We talked about this a couple episodes back. You pre-flight your plane, pre-flight yourself, hydrate.
Mm.
The days are longer also, so you're going to be tempted to maybe take off earlier, fly later, do really long trips. Also think about your fatigue. You're flying more hours during the day, just all that daylight hours and beautiful sun. It just kind of sneaks up on you. And so hydrate, manage yourself for fatigue. And
now, so by hydrate, I can go grab some Sprite, right?
Now try and, you know what? Try and keep it to water, or
right.
And don't just pound sports drinks. If you do get into the sports drinks, maybe cut them in half with water. And don't think that you can just do all of your hydration at once. Your body can only absorb a pace of fluids into your system. You can't just guzzle a 2-liter bottle of water and think that that's going to rehydrate you. You should be drinking it steadily throughout your flight so that your body's absorption can keep up with the hydrating that you're doing.
Absolutely. And I think the other bit, too, is if you go slow and steady, mm-hmm. less bathroom breaks.
And you have to know, in an airplane, bathroom breaks are timely, yeah. time-consuming and expensive because it's a landing and takeoff. You try to match it with your fuel. Typically, my fuel tanks outlast my bladder. That could be a whole episode in itself.
Yeah.
Bathroom management in the air.
No, actually, isn't that going on your gravestone? Typically, my fuel tanks outlast my bladder. Erica Wiggins.
Yes.
That's the quote of her
added
life.
Add it to my quotes.
But no, you know, it's one of those things. If you're flying with other people, nobody likes the bathroom break guy. But if you got to do it, you got
to
do it.
You know, sometimes you got to hand it to the bathroom break guy because usually he's the one who said it while the rest of you are sitting there going, hey, I can't wait any longer.
Everyone look away. I got a bottle.
Well, that happens. Oh, yeah, I know. Gatorade, nice wide mouth. The boys love it. Us girls have a much more difficult
time. A lot of them like to say they need the big wide mouth, but they don't.
Don't drink the yellow Gatorade, folks. These are tips from your Aim High podcast team.
but then it smells and you're stuck up there and stuff. I don't know. It just becomes a bad idea.
I really avoid that, actually. I don't know that I can recall ever needing to go in the air. I somehow I get superhuman powers when it comes to having to pee in an airplane.
Also, it's a little trickier, I suppose.
Oh, it's seriously tricky. Some of the planes I had potties on them, but I didn't want to use them.
You know the problem with, I can't believe this is where we're at. The problem with peeing into a bottle is...
Hey, folks, you're going to hear it here first.
Is sometimes you've got more than what the bottle can hold. Then it's a real pickle. You know?
Oh, boy. Okay, somebody give me a hand up out of this hole that we just dug ourselves
you
into.
Know, it's just like, now you got to do the squeeze. You got to do the squeeze. You're in trouble. It's a bad scenario. So just say that you got to land.
Hydrate regularly. Plan frequent bathroom stops in the summer. Okay, back to summer flying, Keith.
Summer flying. Hey, listen, these are the joys. These are the joys of summer flying.
Now, with this increased heat also, it doesn't just affect our human performance. It affects our aircraft performance. So the weight and takeoff distance that you're used to being able to handle during the winter just changed. Heat and humidity degrade the performance of your aircraft. You were taught this during flight school, or if you knew pilot, I'm reminding you, study up on this stuff. Now, there's one way of calculating performance that's going to answer the questions on your FAA test, and then there's just real life being safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, practical application of this is calculate your performance. It doesn't really factor in humidity as well. It factors in your heat and a bunch of other factors, which you would have learned on your performance charts and such. But you're not going to nail this down to the foot. So because there's just no way to be really exact about all the different variables that could be taking place in your performance chart, take your worst performance number and add 10 to 20% to it for your takeoff and landing distances on a hot, humid day. And just give yourself that extra margin, because there's going to be things like your engine performance may not be up to par, not just because of the heat and humidity, but it's an older engine reaching TBO. There's a lot of issues that you just can't factor in on these charts that are nothing but black and white graphs on a page that, you know, possibly in a manual that was written in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and add a buffer to your performance calculations in the summer and to deal with that heat and humidity.
Always nice to have a buffer.
Absolutely.
If you don't have it, then you know, oh, now I'm over, now I got to land immediately, now I, you know what I mean? And so it's just having little wiggle room is always Always,
yeah, you don't want to find yourself approaching the end of the runway and your plane's still not lifting.
You don't want to find yourself filling up the whole bottle and still having more. To...
You don't want to find yourself in one of Keith's NTSB reports. So, also in the summer, just a reminder, icing can still happen. When you're up at altitude and it's you've got moisture, the temperatures are still cool at altitude, don't assume that icing cannot happen. Remember your pitot tube heat, other precautions that you take for ice are still possibly necessary.
Right.
And look at icing levels and conditions in the summer, too.
It doesn't make sense, right? Like, just from your head, it's like, it's hotter
it's
out here.
It's warm down here.
You know, it can't ice up, but...
At altitude, that's a different story.
Right.
At 12,000 feet, it could be icing conditions up there. So just remember to go ahead and still check your icing levels, particularly in the spring. Another factor that you're going to find in the summer are wildfires.
Oh, yeah.
Wildfires and haze.
Right.
Wildfires because of particularly California is under tremendous drought. They have a lot of wildfires going on right now. In Florida, we usually experience this problem. Even here in Utah, we had tremendous wildfires
Absolutely.
Last year.
It's basically anywhere that's forested in the West.
And wildfires not just produce visual obstruction, but they kind of create their own weather and turbulence. And, you know, so be aware of the conditions that the wildfires create and any temporary flight restrictions that they might bring, because if the firefighting efforts are taking place, there may be some restrictions around that fire that trying to keep other aircraft out of the way while the firefighting aircraft are dealing with the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Also haze. You're going to get a greater instance of inversions, although here we get it in the winter. It's really bad in Salt Lake in the winter. But some places you're going to find some haze layers that are really persistent during the summer because it may stay calmer. The particulates don't just get blown out of these valley areas, so watch for areas of haze. And along the coast, you might find more stratus, especially on the West Coast. You may find more stratus clouds, again, causing some obstruction to your visibility. That tends to be a little bit more prominent during your spring, summer months on the West Coast. So now we're going to get
to... Those stratus clouds, they can really bother you up there. It's like when you're in the movie theater and the lady's got the big hat on.
Oh, yeah. Take it off. Well,
what are you doing?
And as First a VFR of all, pilot, of course, it's an issue. But then also, if it's low in the early mornings in particular, cool mornings, that they may be settled down basically as fog.
Right.
And you're going to have to deal with that during your takeoff and landing. So just be sure to check that, because it can sometimes even be surprising. I've had that happen when I was flying over to Venice, and I took off, and all the reports are very clear, Venice being the west coast of Florida, Venice. And I get over there, and there's this sea fog just settled right over the airport, and I had, you know, kill some time or divert. It was just socked in, and yet everywhere else was clear. So
it's bizarre, but I can I share a story about talking to somebody wearing a hat in front of me? There's a guy wearing a big cowboy hat in front of me. I was in Texas, and I was in a movie theater, and I said, could you take your cowboy hat off? He said, no, I got to wear it. It's important to me. I said, Sheriff, I can't see the movie. And there's a bit of a dust up. It worked out, though.
Uh-huh. You out winning friends and influencing people again, Keith? You have a talent.
Just call me Carnegie, baby. I'm fine. Anyway, that was a so that's the point. If you can avoid those things,
right.
And be aware of those things, it's important.
Exactly. So now we're going to get to the biggie. Summer brings greater convection. And so a lot of convection, meaning rising air from the heat that's mm-hmm. taking place on the earth. And that creates thunderstorms because we have moisture, heat, convection. So all of that combines, we get what are called air mass thunderstorms.
Right. And a considerable amount of turbulence.
And a very considerable amount of turbulence. So these storms can develop very quickly as compared to storms that are developed along a frontal line. So keep in mind, you may take off, everything looks fine, keep your eyes open, continue to check weather reports en route, and be prepared for, in particular, your coastal areas like Florida, along the Gulf Coast, where you've got a lot of moisture. And in Florida, we would get a sea breeze that would blow in and start to create some lifting action down the middle of the state. So, you know, if you talk to locals, they could tell you kind of what these typical patterns are, too, if it's not your home base. So in Florida, typically 3 o'clock, you know you're going to have some storms coming in. If you can't miss that period, you know, can't beat that period, wait till later. Go, they'll settle down as soon as everything starts to cool in the evening.
Right.
And you can make your flight later. But if you do have to navigate around thunderstorms, there's a couple of tips that I'll give you. First of all, try to deviate to the upwind side of the storm, because this way you don't have the storm blowing down on you. Plus, right, some of your hail and other negative bad things happen on the downwind side.
Right. You don't want to be like the guys run away from the dinosaur in Jurassic Park. You know that scene where the T-Rex is coming behind and they're going away in the Jeep, right? And it's like, if you're flying downwind of those thunderstorms, you're looking behind, here they come, yeah, like that big dinosaur,
yeah,
coming
so
at you.
Yeah, so try to go to the upwind side, even if that's not going to be your most favorable winds or it's less of
direct
to your route. Try to go to the upwind side of that the storm is moving for multiple reasons, like I said.
As a pilot, time has got to be on your side. You've just always got to – being in a rush, we've talked about this, yeah, over and over. It's like being in a rush is
– is never a good strategy.
It's a bad idea as a,
yeah,
pilot.
Yeah, it's not a good strategy. So you deviate upwind. Try to give it 20 miles of clearance. Everyone has a different thought on that. But in general, 20 miles is a pretty acceptable buffer it by that. Now, one thing I've noticed that people will look at a thunderstorm and see that it looks all clear underneath. They think, why can't I fly underneath? Well, it may be clear for a period of time during its developing phases, but then as it matures, it's going to start dumping heavy rain, hail, huge downdrafts are all going to start coming out of the bottom side of that storm. And it's not going to publish its schedule with you. So it's a bad idea to fly under storm cells. You circumvent them, you go, you know, avoid them completely, give it 20 miles, respect them. Flying through a storm is never a good idea. It's, you really want to give it a wide berth, but sometimes they aren't so obvious to see.
Right.
And maybe you don't have radar. If they're buried in a line of storms, another hazy weather, clouds, some other type of visual obstruction. If the weather had forecast looked like it was very likely that storms are going to be along the way, talk to ATC. Let them know you don't have weather radar and to ask for advisories if they do see something that you're going to fly into.
Mm-hmm.
They will do that, time permitting and equipment permitting. But you can ask.
Sure.
And again, you know, stay up on pilot reports and other in-flight weather data, mm-hmm, to see if anything has developed along your way. Of course, having a radar on board is hugely helpful. But in our audience, I'm not sure what percentage of people are flying aircraft that have weather radar. I know that most of the planes I used to fly did.
Right.
But not the trainers. So not the 172s and such that a lot of people are training in. But the larger aircraft, the 421s, the turbo commanders and stuff all had weather radar, and that's huge. If you see a moderate-sized cell on your weather radar, again, give it 20 miles. Avoid that thing.
Yeah, right. Right, and I liked what you said about the PIREPs. Like checking PIREPs is, mm-hmm, huge. I mean, because they've, you know, the weather reports can tell you a lot, but a pilot's actually in the air,
yeah,
they're experiencing it through,
yeah,
flying. They know what it's like up there. And,
yes, and I'll
and
get on a
they'll
slight,
be honest with you about what it's like.
Oh, yeah, they're
going like
to tell you what it's like. And I'll get on a little soapbox about this, folks. We like PIREPs. Everyone likes to receive information from PIREPs. That means that some pilot out there took time to give that PIREP. Be that pilot too.
Mm-hmm.
File PIREPs. This is part of the system. It's volunteer.
How do you do it?
That's a whole separate.
Really?
Yeah, we'll go into that on,
okay,
another episode.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, learn how to file them. File them. It's all by radio. So just, you know, go ahead and take the time to go through the effort to file a PIREP. If you notice something that you weren't expecting to see, that you weren't given during your weather brief before you took off, let somebody know. Hey, there's a little more turbulence up here than anyone mentioned, or there's thunderstorms here, or the rain is this way.
Just right. Help. Or this is coming on,
yeah,
a little quicker.
Help a bro out. So, additionally,
it's the aviation version of helping the old lady across the street.
Oh, I don't know if I like that analogy. I think it's just about cooperation, and, you know, playing in the sandbox. So back to deviating, though. If you do see a storm, ask ATC for deviation if you're getting flight following or if you're under ATC control. Talk to them early. Don't wait till the last minute and then decide to deviate, because at that point they have fewer options to give you. The more notice they have, the better chance there is that they can work the system to accommodate your requests and don't have to keep you on a heading for avoidance and other factors that they're dealing with. Because remember, you're not the only plane in their system. Also, again, like I mentioned before, let them know that you don't have weather radar and ask for some guidance from them. Now, let's say you couldn't avoid that storm. Something happened, you didn't see it coming, you find yourself in a storm. I would never, ever suggest doing this intentionally.
Right.
So what I am sharing now is this is the Hail Mary, I'm in it and I don't have a choice, I need the best chance to survive.
And this is probably, you don't take practice runs at this, right?
You don't do this intentionally, ever. You don't fly through thunderstorms. But, so first of all, slow your plane down. Get it down to maneuvering speed, VA. You should always have that speed for your aircraft right in the forefront of your mind. Slow it down early. Get down to VA. Now, try to stay at VA, but remember, in this scenario I'm painting, almost nothing is going to be able to be maintained exactly. You may be bouncing either side of VA. Just try and keep it in the ballpark. Don't try to chase the airspeed. You won't be able to.
Mm-hmm.
It just won't happen. Next, if you have a retract, depending on your aircraft, I always defer to the operating manuals, but a lot of times it would be a good idea to go ahead and drop the gear just to give yourself a little bit more stability in the air. But don't drop your flaps. Leave the flaps up. So VA, drop your gear if you can. Additionally, just keep it upright and point it in the general direction that you need to go. Don't try to keep it flat and level. Don't try to keep it on a heading. At this point, you're going to be getting knocked around enough that your airspeed's going to be all over the place, your heading's going to be all over the place, and your altitude, etc. So
the answer, my friend, truly is blowing in the wind.
Yeah, you are. You're blowing in the wind. So it's about loose control, because if you fight it, you're going to potentially overstress the aircraft. So there's a reason that I'm advising loose control, not just because it won't be possible to keep all of these things
sure.
in line.
Just power it, through and be...
Yeah, yeah. But in making the effort to maintain a perfect control of the airplane, you could actually cause more of a problem than you would solve with that. So maintain loose control, striving for a general direction if you can, or at least upright, and airspeed that's down to VA. And again, that's just emergency procedures. You never do this intentionally. I have inadvertently been in a thunderstorm, and I can tell you that it was one of the most terrifying things I've ever had happen to me. And I was not PIC. I was in the plane, and I was sitting right seat. And I have to say, it was absolutely... I didn't even want to fly for a little while after that experience.
Wow.
I was like, I want to drive home. This was so bad. So we should have stayed on top of things more. I wasn't pilot in command, but that's no excuse. I should have overridden that and seen the bad judgment that was taking place and jumped in and made a good judgment. But that we talked about that before. You are pilot in command. Don't defer to other people. I made that mistake. Someone who was just so vastly more experienced than me that I was flying with, I thought, oh, I'm safe with this person. And I was not... I truly was, even though we're both pilots, I was considering myself along for the ride. And then I realized what had happened. And after the fact, I wondered why I didn't really make a bigger effort to manage the flight myself too and not defer to this person, even though he had like 10 times more hours than I did. So,
well, that's a hard thing, right? Because you don't want to like upset the other person. I mean, there's been conversations about this on our show as well, but it's a very real thing that I think happens all the time, right? It's just like, you don't want to be like, I don't know, second guessing, what's going on or, or whatever, but like at the same time, it's important to kind of just, for your information, this is what I think, this might be helpful for you or so. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, just some kind of tactful way to, A, don't check out, B, find a tactful way to say, hey, there's something going on here. And I learned a real valuable lesson that day. Glad we didn't damage anything, including ourselves.
Right. And but, most everyone is cool. Like, if you try to tell them, like,
yeah,
it's not like like the TV show 24 came back. I've
never followed that.
Okay. No. Well, so they have this problem, though. Pride, of course, is the big problem. And there's always there's in the unit that's called CTU, the counterterrorist unit or whatever. There's always like the head of the organization who has this pride, right? And there's people that work underneath the head in there, and they have like the right answer. They like, you know, everybody else sees it this way, including the head. But there's this one person who sees it one way, and they come in and they prove their point, and then like the person is always just like, oh, no, we're just going to keep doing the wrong thing, which is, you know, it makes for, makes for an interesting TV show, but that's not what happens in real life, right? Like, when you're presented with, like, this is probably what's likely going on, or you should maybe...
Hey, did you notice this? You know, try and do it tactfully. Don't go, hey, you idiot, and smack him upside the head. But, you know, I definitely speak your mind.
Right.
And, you know, pay attention to the flight. If you're a pilot, even though you're not pilot in command, you really should always stay tuned in. And no matter how experienced the person is that's sitting in the seat next to you.
And I think people are generally pretty cool about it when they get told.
Yeah, I think most people are. I mean, granted, pilots do tend to have pretty big egos, but if you do it the right way. And, you know, maybe, I'm sure you probably saw this, but hey, did you notice that big buildup on the radar?
Right. Right.
Or have you looked at the radar? Have you turned on the radar?
Or do you realize you're flying straight at the Earth? How about that? No.
So, folks, that's it for today. We've talked about some summer flying safety, and next episode is going to be all about having some fun with our summer flying. So tune back with us next week. I look forward to talking to all of you then, and I hope you enjoy the live broadcast that we've produced here for you today. Let us know.
Thank you for listening to the Aim High Podcast. Remember to follow us on Twitter at @aim_high and like us on Facebook. And if you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes. We know you have many choices when it comes to your podcast, and we thank you for choosing ours. When you're learning how to fly, aim high. Aviation made easy.